Tony. I don't know about VIP, but I'm delighted to be on with you.
Are you in Michigan or D.C.?
We're in D.C. Yeah, I just stepped outside of an education workforce committee meeting, and we're still here.
Tell me what you're talking about in that workforce committee meeting this morning.
We're talking about the way forward on the reauthorization of No Child Left Behind, which we are taking a different twist on, and not reauthorizing it the way it it came from the president several years ago, but rather giving more opportunity for states and local communities to have flexibility in the way they implement quality education for their kids. Less mandates and top-down management from the federal government, and that, of course, has always been the direction I want to go.
Okay, why did you feel this needed to be done as opposed to how the system is now?
Well, I don't see any let's start right from the top. Our Constitution doesn't give any responsibility to the federal government for education. I think the wisdom of the framers and founders of our country understood that education takes place best closest to home, and that begins with the parents, with the teachers in the local school district, the way we have it set now, the school board members, the administrators, and then the states. And, of course, Michigan in its Constitution, in Article 8, Section 1, it says very specifically that we have responsibility for educating our kids in the state of Michigan. So my premise has always been ratchet down all, if it possible, and as much as possible, any involvement from the federal government to give that back to the states.
The funding that you talk about, will it be less, the same, or more than it currently receives?
Well, it won't be less. Just how it's expended. I personally would like to leave the dollars back in the states rather than sending them to Washington and having bureaucracy up here and the massive educational Department of Education take off dimes and quarters and then send a portion back to the states. I'd rather leave it there and do it that way. So hopefully we can ratchet down not only the involvement of the authority for as well as the funding for from the federal government back to the states.
And, of course, some of that funding will come to Michigan.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I personally think that what the resources for education ought to stay in Michigan when it comes from its state taxpayers. And we're pushing for that. We won't get all the way back. There are those, even in my party, that believe that the federal government does have some place in authorizing and encouraging quality education. And so that's the debate. But we will try to gain as much control of our education resources for Michigan as possible.
Recently watched a interview with the president on 60 Minutes, and he talked about the differences between the Democrats and the Republicans with respect to how especially the House of Congress has worked with the president's office, and just how the upcoming election will show that there are two very different sides kind of going at it here. And, you know, Congressman, I just want to get your take on, there's a frustration. It's throughout the country. We see it here in mid-Michigan that a lot of us are just tired of the bickering, and we're tired of the party lines, and we're tired of Congress saying that the Republicans want to end everything and cut all social programming and put the debt on the back of the middle class and the poor. And we're tired of hearing that the Democrats want to take care of the less fortunate and they want the middle class to thrive more, and that they want to give those two entities more, and they want to take more from the rich. We're tired of hearing that, and we want to see more work done. We want to see more collaboration. We want to see the D and the R's drop, but we can't seem to find any resolution towards that.
Well, you're right. And I think there are plenty of us here that are tired of that as well and would like to see action move forward. That would produce jobs, that would grow an economy, that would give some security to our employees as well as our employers, that we would have action that comes from the federal government in this case that says we want our people to succeed. I think that's been seen in the House, and that's not a D or an R issue. It was 27 jobs bills dealing with everything from energy to financial management, has gone through the House of Representatives on a bipartisan fashion. Certainly, it's had stronger support from Republicans than the minority party, but it has had Democrat support. Those bills sit over in the Senate. They're piling up like log stack wood. And the leader in the Senate, Harry Reid, has chosen, for one reason or another, not to even deal with those by offering an alternative, amending the bills and sending them back to us for a conference committee where we can negotiate, we can compromise in the positive sense, and we can send legislation then to the president for signing. We are going to do that this week on the issue of unemployment insurance and payroll tax holiday, as well as the pipeline issue that we're dealing with. The president hopefully will have an opportunity to deal with it and sign it or veto it based upon what the Senate does in doing something. And that's what we're asking for right now. So the American public ought to have an opportunity to see its government in action and not in recess. And hopefully the Senate will follow suit of what the House has done.
What would happen if members of Congress, if any elected official wasn't allowed to take special interest money? What would happen from your perspective?
I don't know if anything would be the same or anything would be different. It would probably be the same. There would be certainly less money flowing in politics for campaigning. And being one who has been in the most expensive House race in the United States two successive elections, I would love to see that and have the ability to spend all of my time with the issues of interest to me, and that's legislation here. I would love to see that happen, but you still have special interests. Citizens themselves are special interests. They are tied into organizations, whether it be union organizations, or whether it be different types of social, cultural organizations, religious organizations, and they will still attempt to have their influence and get their voices heard. And frankly, that's America.